This story is called Plaque. I went to see my grandmother when I was in my early mid-20s, and she took out some pictures from the cedar chest, and some of them I had not seen before. Among these was a picture of my mother as a high school senior. It was her graduation picture. And it was classic mid-50s stuff. She had the look over her shoulder, and she had the cardigan, short sleeve, and the pearls. Side part, soft wave, smooth skin, soft lighting. And, you know, let's face it, most of us, if we see pictures of our parents from high school or back in the day, we usually have an experience of seeing something unfamiliar and possibly quite embarrassing. You've got dad's mutton chops, and you've got mom's gray slick hairdo. In my particular case, I'm keeping my Saturday Night Fever period a closely guarded secret from my children. But when I looked at this picture of my mother with my Nana, what really got to me was her mouth, her teeth. They were straight and white and gleaming and pretty. My mother had a pretty smile, and it was not a mouth that I had seen before. Some years before, it was 1973, maybe 74, it was a warm summer day, and I took my white banana bike for a ride in the morning. It had one of those woven plastic baskets with the pink and purple flowers. You know, I really like that bike. And my mother was visiting. I lived with my grandmother, and my mother lived pretty far away from us, but she was visiting that morning, that weekend. And on that morning, when I got back from my ride, there was a ruckus in my house. So I went inside, and my mom was slamming and shoving and smacking my grandmother around in the kitchen, and she was really beating the piss out of her. And she was biting with her teeth. Now that was the mouth that I knew. But when, you know, other times when she wasn't literally taking a piece out of somebody, my mother had a way of hissing venom as if her mouth were a toll plaza through which only nasty things could pass. So I'll give you an example. When I was a little kid, I liked to make lists. We should probably get that. I liked to make lists of my experiences, people I knew, my friends Judy and Andrea and Valerie and all the relatives they had that I knew. Or I would list all the things inside the house or things that I had done, things I imagined I might do someday. And, you know, I had a very chaotic upbringing. And so somebody looking at that might think, oh, you know, kid with a coping mechanism, or budding librarian, perhaps. but not mom. You're always making lists. I'm sick of your lists. Thanks, Mom. She really was a take-no-prisoners type. But I have looked this up. I have done my research, and hatefulness is not a leading cause of gingivitis. It's not. My mother definitely had gingivitis. So, you know those guys who they collect Civil War armaments or pistols or something, and they keep them in a case, in a special locked case in the house, and, you know, it's Thanksgiving and you're over at their house, and hey, get me, I want to show you something, let me show you something, and they bring you over and carefully unlock the case, and out comes, cradled like a newborn, you know, some Smith and Wesson that they want to show you. They're so proud of how well they take care of these weapons. They treat them with a lot of love and respect. Okay, well, that was not my mom. She did not take care of her weapon, and it definitely showed. She would eat like a hyena at a fresh kill, sort of tearing at her food. She didn't exactly chew it. But her main sustenance actually came from gallons, oceans of diet soda, and Parliament cigarettes. And then later, she added chewing gum. I do believe her teeth took on a tab-like hue, tab later becoming Diet Coke, of course. And she would poke at her gums. She had this long, hooked, steel dental probe that looked like something that would have been at home in an SS museum. And she would sit at the tiny little table in the minuscule apartment on the Lower East Side, and she'd pick and pick and pick and bleed and complain and pick and pick and pick and pick and bleed and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick and pick. And when she was done, she would replace the dental probe in the pencil cup from which she had taken it. And I really don't think this gum stimulation actually helped her teeth at all. So her weapon itself had sort of become a battleground. But as you might expect, you know, eventually she felt pain and discomfort in her mouth, and the outcome was always the same. She would go to a dentist, a new dentist who she'd never seen before, and she would wait in the reception area until the nurse came out, and she would follow the nurse into the dentist's office, and she would situate herself in the chair. And within moments, she would bolt out of the chair and push the hygienist aside and push through the door and back out into the reception area and down into the hallway and out through the front door of the building and into the street and never go back again. Now, I couldn't really understand it. I thought, well, maybe she saw a marathon man one time too many. But this urban gorilla, this rageful woman, this warrior, she could be leveled by dental rinse and a clip-on bib. So when I saw with Nana this picture of this lovely, smiling Pittsfield High School senior with the beautiful mouth, I just couldn't believe that smile. I had never pictured rows of straight, pretty teeth. Nor had I ever pictured my mother toothless. And at 72, that is exactly where she's headed. She has no real artillery now. She barely has consonants. Ring, ring. Hey, Ma. Hello, Kathy and that meal. My mother was born in 1938, and like most people, by the time she was 17, she had 28 teeth and 4 wisdom teeth. And now she has 7. 7 teeth, and they're as twisted and rotten as the ones that have already fallen out of her head. So, Ma, I said, what are you going to do about them? What are you going to do about these 7 teeth? I'm going to let them rot. That was her answer. She was going to let them rot. At 72, my mother has lived through the start and the finish of many wars. She's seen the conclusion of many of them, World War II, the Korean War, Vietnam, the War on Poverty, the Six-Day War, the Falklands, Grenada, Star Wars. But there is one ongoing war that she is not going to see through to the end. In 1947, the American Dental Association began an oral health campaign and eventually it led to the fluoridation of water nationwide, although not before it was denounced as a communist plot. And the ADA called this the War on Tooth Decay. The War on Tooth Decay. And that is the war that my mom, explosive firebrand that she was, urban guerrilla, rageful warrior, that is the one war she will never see through to the end. Thank you.